Amen to those words. You guys can have a seat this morning. God is after you. He loves you. He is for you. He's not against you. And just want to welcome everybody that's here and our online church family. I don't know if it's zoomed up on my face. I can't tell. Is it zoomed up? Yes. Ooh, good looking. Hey, just wanted to say we love you guys. We miss you. And just know that we're praying for you. I want to know after the service is over what you're feeling at home, because I can sense what you guys are feeling. But give me an emoji, okay? Throw an emoji on the comment section, because I would love to know what you're feeling at home. In here, how's everybody doing? Oh, you're feeling good. Okay. I was wondering, because it's kind of been another wild, weird week again, but hey, glad we're together today. I know why you guys are excited. We're going to talk about marriage and sex today. That's why you're excited. No, it's going to be a really good day. We're going to be exploring this, and I just want to do a little caveat as we go into this, because I know the topic of marriage hits home in a lot of different ways. Some of you have been divorced, and so when you hear me say marriage, your stomach drops a little bit, like, oh dear. You know, some of you have maybe lost a spouse recently, and it brings up a lot of pain. Others of you, you know what, you are in the middle of marriage right now, and it kind of feels like you're single, and there's really no, it's just like, this ain't working out too good, and you're frustrated. Others of you are just in bliss, and you are in love, and you're a week into marriage. You know, wherever you're at in this ball game, or if you're just, you know, a teenager thinking, not even thinking about marriage, but you're like, ooh, look at that good-looking person, you know, wherever you're at, this will apply for you today. So it's going to be a really great conversation, because relationships impact all of us in some form. We are all thinking about relationships to some extent. We all have experienced a heartbreak or maybe even experienced love before. And how do we navigate that? Because the reason why I want to talk about it is in the middle of stress, middle of COVID, middle of pain, that relationship is often the one that is the most intense. So if you're single today and you're going through a lot of stress, what do you want? You want somebody to be there for you. If you're married and you're going through a lot of stress, that's the one person you want to kill, right? You know, there's just this dynamic about relationships that are interesting, and I want to help us navigate that through God's way, because I actually believe you're supposed to be blessed no matter what's happening around you. No matter what's going on, you're supposed to experience blessing, and that through that, you're supposed to see God work in amazing ways. And so we're going to dive into that. We've been talking about different keys. A couple weeks ago, we talked about anxiety and how God gave us a Sabbath to help with our anxiety. Hope you've been doing that. It's a huge, amazing blessing that God's given you, taking one day and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. We talked about finances, the first of our fruits going to God, helping us manage what God's given us. And so for today, we're going to talk about relationships and marriage. How do we navigate that? You have four basic needs. You have four basic needs as a human being inside of you. And these are the four basic needs each human has. The first one is acceptance. Second one's identity. The third one is security. And the final one's purpose. These are four basic needs that every human has. This is psychology. Each one has these. And these four basic needs drive you in life. They push you, and you want to find these. You want to feel accepted. So with acceptance, you want somebody to accept you just as you are. Whether you are all dressed up or you're wearing your PJs, they accept you for just as you are. They love you no matter what wart, no matter how much hair you've lost, no matter what, they love you. That's acceptance. The second one is identity. Then you want somebody to tell you who you are. You want somebody to accept you for what you are. Then you want somebody to tell you who you are. You know, I see you as an amazing singer. I see you with an amazing heart. You have an amazing gift. That's somebody that sees your identity. The third one is security. This is the one that makes you feel safe and secure. This is that person that no matter what's going on around me, I feel safe and secure and loved. And I know everything's going to be okay. And the fourth one is purpose. They're the ones that give you meaning in life. It's like, man, once I'm with this person, I just have meaning and I know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. These four things drive human beings. They drive us. We yearn for them. We want to find them. We look everywhere under every single rock and every single person to try to find these four needs. My wife and I, we've just started our Hallmark Christmas movies. Just to let you know, they're the exact same as last year, okay? There's the same storyline, the same exact thing. And as we were watching this really cheesy one the other night, I thought about these four, and they were exactly what this movie was based on. You know, it's this girl, and you know, she doesn't really know who she is, but yet she wants to be somebody, and then she meets this guy, and next thing you know, she's confident in who she is, and that guy loves her right as she is, and she didn't even have makeup at one moment, and he's like, "You're beautiful," you know, and she's like, "Oh, really?" You know, and next thing you know, this guy protects her and keeps her safe, and I'm like, they're just copying the basic needs of a human being. That's why everybody loves Hallmark movies, because like, oh, if I could just find somebody like them, you know, I would be safe. You know, then that's what I hate when the wives look over at the husband like, why aren't you more like that Hallmark person? You know, it's like, that's an impossible task. You know, we are driven this way. And guys, it's not just women. Guys experience the same thing. Guys want to experience these four areas. And so we're looking for that. And here's what happens with this. Because you and I are looking for that, we do unintentionally a transaction with somebody. We say, okay, you're giving me these four areas, so I will give you what? My heart. I will love you. Oh my goodness, you're the most amazing person. And this is what's called the beginning of dating. So when you see that person and like, oh my goodness, they talk my language. They are for me. It's so great. You give them your heart and you're like, everything is great. And that's like when you're dating, everything is bliss. That person's perfect. Nothing's wrong with them. Everything is great about them. And that's what's happening. But weirdly enough, you are putting a value on them because they're giving you something. Now you see that they're valuable. That's why you have to be with them. I know I'm going deep here this morning. I'll get to the Bible in a second. This is important to understand. Because we see them as giving value, we're willing to give up our lives for them. But here's what happens. After one day, 2 days, 1 year, 2 years, that amazing person, they ain't so amazing anymore. They are just as messed up and crazy as you are. And you know what gets triggered? The four things: acceptance, security, purpose, and identity. And suddenly, when that person isn't giving you that anymore, you don't feel accepted by them, you don't feel secure by them, you begin to devalue that relationship. And you slowly begin to drift apart. And some of you are experiencing this right now. Some of you are like, you know what, I'm not even thinking about marriage. What is this guy talking about? But we'll do it psychologically. We begin to devalue. I used to watch infomercials, and it's a great pastime, by the way. If you haven't done it, try it. But I used to watch these infomercials, and one of the best ones, I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, Apply and Let Dry. Nope. You never heard of Apply and Let Dry? Well, let me give you the infomercial then. Okay. So there's this guy, and there's this leather couch. And this guy's like, have you ever experienced this? And he takes out a knife, and he cuts the leather couch. I'm like, I've never experienced that. That was just manly right there. So he rips open the leather couch. He's like, no, we got a tear in the leather couch. But wait, Apply and Let Dry. And he pulls out this thing and he wipes on this like smudge and then scrubs it. And next thing you know, ding, it's perfect. My family got so excited about Apply and Let Dry, we bought it. And so whoever get in the box and they're like, it's Apply and Let Dry. And the first time we put it on something, it was like putting on Elmer's glue. I mean, it just made a mess. It didn't work. It didn't. Everything fell apart. I'm like, that was a junk. Of course, it was 1995, you know. By now, 1995, and it just was a complete dud. And I feel like that's exactly what happens in every single relationship. We have this, it's going to be perfect, it's going to be amazing. And then you experience it, and like, man, you're a human too. I was expecting a little bit more than myself. Why are you like this? And then we get disenfranchised with that person. And this is the same thing that happens with sex, is that before you get married, you're thinking sex is going to be amazing. So little background for my wife and I, we were virgins when we got married. Whoop, whoop. That's, I just want to encourage any teenagers out there, it's the best way, okay? It's the best. Okay, we were virgins before we got married, and I, as a guy, thinking this is going to be awesome. You know, she's just going to want to kiss me all the time because I'm a Tim Egremson, you know? And after we get married, married people, you understand this? It ain't like that. First, 3 days, and then after that, it's like, what? You're human too, you know? And every time I came near her, she like ran away from me, you know? It was just like, it was a completely different vision than what I had. And I thought, hey, this is what marriage is supposed to be. It was supposed to be like apply and let dry. But the reality is, and so what happens is you begin to devalue that person. You didn't fulfill me. You didn't meet that need inside of me. And you're slowly drifting apart. Now let's get to the Bible. Because God has an amazing plan for marriage. But you have to understand this first. So if you have a Bible, grab it and turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is going to talk and actually give us marriage, singleness, divorce. He gives it to us in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, what takes place here is there are some religious guys, some Pharisees that they're coming to Jesus and they're trying to trick him. They're trying to try to get him to mess up. And interestingly enough, they actually use marriage and divorce to do that. They're coming to Jesus and this is what they say. Matthew 19 verse number 3. At home, Matthew 19 verse number 3. It says this. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? That just made me laugh when I read it. Is there any? How about every reason? Now, like, if she spills the coffee, can I divorce her? Literally, that is actually what they're asking. Because during this time, little biblical history, 400 years ago, 400 years prior to this moment, was the book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi, what was taking place was rampant divorce. Just, it was a lot of divorce and a lot of heartbreak and tears. And God actually gives this passage about, you know, it's a beautiful passage in Malachi chapter 2 about divorce and relationships and God's plan in that. And for the next 400 years, there was a lot of just pain. And what was taking place was people were getting divorced over the craziest things, the craziest stuff. And now they're coming to Jesus and says, hey, can we just get divorced over anything? And I want you to hear this. Now, again, I know there's divorced people in here. God is gracious. He loves you. He's with you in this. I know as we're talking about this, it can be hard sometimes, but just hear God's heart in this. So they said, Jesus, can we get divorced about anything? Verse number 4. This is how God responds. So Jesus responds, haven't you read, he said, that in the beginning, the Creator made the male and female. Okay, I want you to catch that. Male, female. That's it. This was God's original plan. In the beginning was not man and man, female, female, man and woman. Okay? And then he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife. So this is the reason why a guy is going to leave mommy and daddy. And the two will become one flesh. So they will no longer be two, but be one flesh. Now, this is the main point. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. What God has joined together. So I saw this. Jesus is referring back to Genesis. He brings it back to the beginning. So I actually went back there. So I'm going to show you on the screen. This is in Genesis 2, verse 5. This is when God's making man and woman. Genesis 2, verse 15. So the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then you will eat it from it and you will certainly die. So what's taking place is God says, Adam, I want you to become the manager, the CEO of earth. You got this. You run this. Just don't eat this naughty tree. And so Adam's doing that. Verse 18, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. Who said it? Who said it? Did Adam say it? That's important. Because a lot of times we're the ones that are saying, it's not good for me to be alone. A lot of times we're the ones saying, God, why aren't you giving me somebody? Or God, why aren't you fixing my spouse? They're crazy. And what's taking place, God's the one that says this. This is very important. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So jump down to verse 21. This is where the woman comes into the scene. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Got some fried chicken and some Iowa Hawkeye football game. Into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. There is such a truth in this that I hope we all catch today, no matter where you are in this path. Adam was not looking for a woman. The reason why Adam was not looking for a woman is because those four basic needs he was fulfilled in with God. Every one of those needs, God fulfilled. Acceptance. God accepted Adam just as he was. Identity. God created him. He knew him. He knew everything about Adam. Security. He was in the garden. It was safe. It was secure. And finally, purpose. God says, here's what you're supposed to do. He gave Adam purpose. God had fulfilled that, but yet God knew a deeper level of the relationship need that Adam had, that Adam didn't even think about. Adam didn't say to God, God, I need somebody right now. I'm lonely. I need somebody. It was God's idea. Adam was fulfilled because God already fulfilled him. And here's the interesting thing about this. Because Adam was fulfilled in those four areas, why did God give him a woman? And actually, the Bible goes on to make babies. To make babies. I mean, I study this thing front to back. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In the book of Malachi, when he was talking to the church, he was telling them, go out, be fruitful and multiply. I desire godly offspring. God's heart was bringing Adam with this woman was that they would procreate and make the earth filled with God's glory. That's what God's heart was for it. It wasn't, listen, for love. I know I'm stepping on some Hallmark moments right now. It wasn't for love. It was for God's purpose to be fulfilled through that. And here's the beauty of this. Because it wasn't because Adam was like, I need. It was because God says, I have a plan through you for this. There could be something great that happens through you. Now, I know some of you can't have children. And so when you hear that, you say, well, what about me? I can't. The whole point is simply this, that God wants whatever unions form, that his glory would be shown through that. And through that comes fulfillment. Here, got my illustration for you guys today. I'm getting really excited. I hope you guys catch this. Okay, so car filter. Okay. You guys need to become more east side. This is a car filter, okay? So here's a car filter. The purpose of the car filter, light just went on. That's a glory moment right there. Okay, so purpose of this filter, you put it in your car every 3,000 or 6,000 or like for me, 12,000 miles. You know, you change it out. And when you do that, the whole purpose is that the oil will run through this and this filter will catch any junk that shouldn't be in the engine, that shouldn't go through. So it runs through, collects, passes it on to the engine. Here's what God has designed to take place. This is your Jesus filter in life. This is your four areas that you need. And what God desires when you are needing acceptance, security, hope, purpose, that you would run your life through this first and that your spouse doesn't have to try to fix you. You guys catch that? That you would run your life through this first. That Jesus wants to be the one to give you purpose. He wants to be one that gives you acceptance. He's the one that wants to give you security and hope. He's the one. And that after you go through Jesus, then you go to your spouse. But what we do is we bypass this and we run to our spouse or run to a boyfriend or a girlfriend and just say, I need. And then that person's like, okay, I'll try. And they can't. And this vicious cycle takes place. And God's designed that he would be that filter that would take all of that. He wants to take all the need, the acceptance. He's the one that wants to do that. And when you do that, when you go through that filter, oh my goodness, that person now doesn't have to be responsible to be fixing you. Doesn't have to be responsible for that. Going through the Jesus filter. And here's what I love about the Adam story. Adam had to lose something in order to get something. He had to cut out his rib. And I tried to study what's the purpose of the rib, guys. I couldn't figure it out. But then he had to cut out a rib. Give a rib. And I think what happens a lot of times, what we end up doing is we don't think about what we give. We think about what do I get out of this relationship? How do I get? And when you go through the Jesus filter, oh, he fills us, and then we get to give. Now, some of you, you've experienced the pain of this. You may be on the other side where that person just sucked you dry, and they were devaluing, trying to get from you. And Jesus today wants to restore you because he wants you to run through him, and that we get it all through him. Now, here's the cool thing. You know the one thing that we can't get from Jesus? Sex. I know I'm getting really honest here today. You guys look uncomfortable. That's the one thing that God did not say, Adam, I'm going to give you. He created a woman for that purpose. And here's the beauty of it. And teenagers, listen up, okay? Listen. Sex is supposed to be enjoyed between you and your spouse. Older people, you better say amen to that. Okay, we better all be on the same page here. Sex is supposed to be enjoyed between you and your spouse because God created that covenant between you two that the only person that you experience sexual enjoyment from is from that one person after the filter. You get to come to them and enjoy that with them. That's the beauty of this. And here's what's crazy about it. Because our society has flipped everything on its head, what we do now is we devalue sex in marriage, and we overvalue sex before marriage. Oh, man, that's good preaching right there. Come on. Just like, oh. We do this. We devalue sex after marriage. It's like, oh, you know, whenever, and, you know, once a year, you know, whatever. But before marriage, it's all, like, in movies, that's like the climax of that's love when you have sex. No, it's not. Sex is the enjoyment after marriage, and it's between just one and one person. One man, one woman, in the confines of marriage is the most beautiful, awesome thing that God ever created. And what will take place is that there will be this devaluation of that teenager's reward. They're going to want to tell you, hey, have sex outside of marriage. And then what also takes place, we're going to get really real here, is that in marriage, it gets devalued too. And oftentimes it's through the form of pornography. Pornography is straight up adultery. Straight up, y'all. That ain't your spouse. That ain't the one. And it devalues what God created to be so intimate between one man and one woman. And see, God created this amazing thing of a husband and a wife. This was his plan. What we forget sometimes, Hallmark didn't create marriage. They didn't. America didn't create marriage. God created this. This was his plan. Man, I want to be on the God train. It's an amazing plan that he put together. But we have to understand this about marriage. It's not what I get out of it. If you go into marriage sucking on a bottle, you're going to always be sucking on a bottle. Think of my kids with their baby bottles. Always needing, needing, needing. If you go into marriage that way, you're always going to be left dry. Have you guys ever gone through like a drive-thru and got like a large Coke or iced tea or coffee, iced coffee, and it has like a ton of ice in it? And then you drink it, and there's like that much in there. What do you feel? You get like that much coffee out of it. What do you feel? Unsatisfied and ripped off, right? I've actually, you want to know something? I'm not a very good customer. I actually went through a line again to get my coffee because all I got was ice. I'm like, I want coffee, not just ice in this thing. And what happens is in relationships, it's the same thing. We look at a relationship like it's all full, and we actually go to experience it, and we're left unsatisfied. I'm not satisfied. Let me tell you something. The only way you can ever get satisfied if you're single and if you're married is through the Jesus filter. The only way you'll ever be satisfied is through this. And once we go through this, the beauty is, oh, on the other side, marriage can be a blessing. It can be an amazing thing when we are satisfied in Jesus. Now, for those that are single or have been through divorce and you're wanting to get married again, listen, make sure that you start this pattern now. Make sure now you start thinking, okay, am I satisfied in Jesus? Because if you go into a relationship looking for one of those four areas, somebody give me acceptance, somebody give me purpose, somebody give me security, somebody give me identity, you're always going to be left unsatisfied. And the key that God gave us, the key to marriage, is that he created it. That's the key. This was his design. He made this thing, but we have to follow his way. And so what he does, he tells Adam, he makes Adam give up something in order to get Eve. Our focus, if you're married here today, should be, what can I give instead of what can I get? I just helped out a marriage with that one. And I want to tell you guys something. I am imperfect at this, just to be raw with you. This week, my wife and I were arguing, and I was like, babe, I got to preach on marriage this Sunday. Like, I got to figure this out too. You know, it's like, this is not easy to do. But we see from God's word is that if we give, let me show you. Ephesians 5 tells us about marriage and what marriage is and gives a great passage about it. There's two highlights and it kind of gives roles between men and women. And the first one is Ephesians 5:22. It says this, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do unto the Lord. That's what the wives are supposed to do, okay? Submit yourself unto the husband as you do unto the Lord. That word submit is not, hey, let me sit on my lazy boy couch, drinking my brewski, and woman, go get me a PB&J. That's not the word submit, okay? The word submit there is literally respect as you would unto the Lord. So wives, respect as you would unto the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Now, husbands, I feel like we have the harder one, honestly. That's just my opinion, but I feel like we got the harder ones. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ. I got the first part, love your wife. I can do that. Second part's tough. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up for her. What does giving yourself up look like, men? How does that look like in your week this week? Is it actually cleaning that spot of the garage that you haven't cleaned yet and she's asked you to clean? Is it actually, you know, doing the things that you said you were going to do? Is it actually going to that store that you hate going to and actually smiling as you do it? I did marriage counseling yesterday with a couple. They're awesome. And I got laughing because we were talking about, you know, husband's roles and what does that mean to, you know, love. And for me, one of the hardest things is to take pictures with my wife. Because my wife takes pictures everywhere. Wherever we're going, it's like, selfie moment. No, it's not. You know, it's like everywhere we go, we're taking, in our first couple of years of marriage, I think I told the story that one day we took 1,416 pictures with her. 1,416 pictures because she wanted to capture the perfect moment and we didn't use any of those photos, okay? But she loved, and I used to get so angry and grumbly and just, I was a poo-poo head, okay? I was just not a good husband. I made myself known, and slowly after year, I know she's watching right now. Hopefully this is accurate, baby. But I've slowly learned to try to die to myself and be like, yes, I would love to take a photo right now. This is the 12th one. Let's do 13. You know, let's keep this going. That's giving yourself up. It's not something you want to do. Husband or wives, how do you submit? How do you show respect? Is it to be bashing him in front of his friends? Is it to be tearing him down? Or is it when he walks through, go, whoa, you are a stud. Man, how did you do that today? You did what? You sweep the ground? Wow, you're amazing. Guys are kind of like little puppies, I feel like. You know, it's like you just cheer them on and they'll keep on doing more tricks for you. It's just keep it going. You know, I heard this phrase and I've absolutely loved it. This guy says, guys need wow instead of how. Ever heard this before? Wow and stuff. A lot of guys have 1,001 ideas, right? I come home to my wife, I have like 16 new ideas every single day. And what she does great at is be like, wow. And one time I came home and I had a toothpaste idea. Literally, I thought of, we need to reinvent toothpaste. This is my brilliant idea. Let's reinvent toothpaste. And you know what she was like? Wow, you can do it, Tim. I'm like, yes, I can. Inside, she says, that's the dumbest idea she's ever heard. But But instead of being like, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do? Well, that's that nagging side, and that's not that respect. And so literally, this is a dying to self. It's in small ways, but God has called us to be loving each other, to be respecting each other. But let me tell you the main point, the main key to marriage is simply this. Because you will always have those four areas driving you. If you're a teenager here today, as you go through life, you're going to have those four areas driving you through college, no matter what that is. If you're married today, those four areas are driving you. You're looking for that. If you're divorced, those four areas are driving you. And there's no human alive that was ever meant to carry that. They're never meant to carry that. Only Jesus is meant to carry those four areas. Only Jesus was meant to completely fulfill you. I want to invite the worship team forward. You know, as we looked at this idea of marriage today and the idea of sex, I want to simplify this as best I can. If you're looking for love today, looking for love in all the wrong places, the only true answer to finding true love is through Jesus Christ. Only way is to find it through Jesus Christ. And once we find it through Jesus Christ, we can more easily love one another. There's so much, you don't carry in all that pressure. You don't carry in all that expectation. And you carry, listen, I'm going to love you. And some of you are like, well, my spouse is completely off the rockers. It's crazy, okay? You know, and my spouse doesn't even believe in God. You know, the Bible actually talks about that. You know what the Bible says for you to do? Keep on going. Why? For your children's sake. That's what the Bible actually says. Keep on going for your children's sake. Because why? It's about godly legacy to come from your life. Godly legacy to come from what God's done through that. And today, when it comes to sex, I want to encourage each and every one of you. Listen, Satan will try to make sex so valuable before marriage, and he'll try to devalue it after marriage. God designed it to be enjoyed with one man and one woman in the confines of marriage. It's the one thing that only you two can enjoy together. It's that really special bond. I heard one guy say it like this. I love it. He says, I can go and emotionally talk with anybody, but I don't get naked with one. I love that phrase so much. I know some of you guys are uncomfortable, but we're just being honest right now. There's only one person that God has designed you to be so intimate with and special with, and that's your spouse. And I encourage everybody that's single today to wait for that person to continue on. God has given us you a blessing. And if you're married, you're sitting right next to them today. Or if they're not here, they're at home. But they are a blessing in your life. And no matter what stress is coming at you, no matter how much you guys were at each other's throat this week and how angry or frustrated you've been, I want to encourage you today to really submit it to the Lord. As a couple today, just say, you know what? Let's go through the filter. Let's go through the Jesus filter together. Let's find those things through Jesus first. If you're single today and you're just like, I want to get married, I desire, listen, those four areas can only happen through the filter of Jesus. As we close, we're going to have a time of just prayer. And if you need prayer for anything, maybe your marriage has been struggling. Maybe it hasn't been easy. Maybe you're single today and it's just been difficult. And you're feeling discouraged today and you're just needing some hope. We would love to pray with you. You're not alone in this battle. I know that relationships are like the most important area of a lot of people's lives. It's huge. It dictates our life. And so at the end, we're going to have people up front that would love to pray with you on the front or on the sides. If you as a couple just need prayer today, encouragement, maybe through COVID it's been really stressful, or maybe you're single today and just like, you know what, I am lonely and I want to find somebody. Whatever that looks like for you, we would love to pray with you. So I want you guys to stand up as we close. And Dave, let's just do Lord, I Need You. And we're going to sing one song as we close this morning. And the song is Lord, I Need You. Lord, I need you. And it's not, I need somebody. Lord, I need you. And if during this song, and if you're just feeling like, hey, we just need some prayer. I just need prayer during this time. Please come forward. Get prayer. We got people on the front, on the sides that would love to pray with you. Let's sing this out together.